B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, phones as promised. Here's Jeffrey in Montreal on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure.
Just a quick thought on the Red Sox. I mean, you have a team right now that, you know, less than a year ago was the best team in baseball, convincingly beats the Dodgers, Yankees, and Houston to win the World Series. I mean, you have basically 430-run home run hitters this year. I know Betts had 29, but pretty close. And now they're thinking about getting rid of J.D. Martinez. I mean, if you get rid of him, you're not going to have those 430 home run hitters. And I thought it was pretty obvious that the pitching was the problem. And if you look at Betts, the year after David Ortiz was in the left lineup, his OPS is like 801, which is the lowest he's had in a while. So what do you guys think?
Okay. Do you think they lose both Martinez and Mookie Betts?
I mean, my gut says no, but I wouldn't rule it out. And I didn't feel this way up until, you know, they really started digging into the payroll. Like, if they want to get down at, call it, you know, $200 million, $195 million, they may not have a choice. But remember, it's Martinez's call, at least at the outset. They can always trade him if he decides to opt in. But 5 days after the World Series is over, within 5 days, he has to make a decision.
Didn't he have some line like a day after the last game of the season, like, oh, I don't mind moving around or something like that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a foot out the door.
Sell both JD and Betts. They're on the decline. We need money for more nerds.
So now, look, Murray, he may be playing the game there. He may be, you know, messing with the team a little bit and saying, oh, I don't mind moving around. I mean, you know, so I'm going to opt out unless you want to guarantee my 3 years or something like that. You know, but it feels to me like if there's an opportunity out there, he'll know about it and he'll opt out.
If they lose Betts and Martinez, are they still a contender?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which doesn't mean favorite, but means contender.
Yeah.
If they lose Betts and Martinez, and remember, Betts will be a trade, so you'll get something back. So whether that helps your pitching staff or somewhere else, you're going to get something back. So it's going to be a net loss, not a total loss. And you still have more talent than Tampa, or you should.
Absolutely.
Or you should.
Well, then Tampa, no question about it.
Okay, so don't give me that.
Pitching's better in Tampa.
But I still think head to toe, you still have more talent. If your pitching's healthy, I know it's a big if, but if your pitching's healthy, it's close. Maybe even better still.
I mean, look, that's...
Sell high on JD. He has a bad back. He spends too much time in Pound Town.
If the pitchers are, you know, performing at a level that we're used to, they'll be in it. Their pitching will be too good. They'll be in it.
Brian and Nashua on the Bees last night. Your thoughts?
Hey, I'm just a little frustrated now. You go back to last night's game where they were down 2-0. And they came back and they fought through it and they end up winning the game. And then you go back to game 7 where they fall down 2-0 and they wet themselves. Your opinions on that?
Yeah, they wet themselves. Yep, they puckered. They tightened.
I mean, also a different opponent, though.
They gagged it. But it's just, this is a nuance because I hear people say, well, they didn't show up in game 7. It's just not true. They showed up. They showed up.
I mean, they played great at the beginning and Bennington made some saves.
They controlled the first 10 minutes of the game. And then Rask led up the first goal on the St. Louis's second shot. And then they got their second. I hate to keep going back to this, but I feel it's kind of an important nuance. They showed up. They competed all through that series. Now, they played poorly at times, and I thought the first line got its ass handed to them. But you forget they were down 3-2 and had to go out to St. Louis and win in that building with the whole city about to be lit on fire to bring it back here, and they did. So I still think they have that quality, and I think they're showing it in this first week, that they have that really nice competitive quality to them, that edge. And that's not why they lost last year. They lost because they got too amped or the moment got too big for them. It's not because they didn't show. I think people have that wrong.
And there were some good plays in that game too, and not just the skill ones.
Like last night?
Yeah.
Terrific.
Like on the first goal they scored, Bergeron backchecked basically. He was in the offensive zone.
Great.
But he came up behind a guy, stole the puck, and that's what triggered Marchand. Backus turned the puck over to set up the crew goal. Like, you know, they fought.
That was a good product last night.
It was a good game.
Like, that was a good game.
Yeah, it was. For third game a year, that was a hell of
like
a game.
A really nice NHL game.
It was. It was entertaining. I mean, again, I turned on the beginning thinking, I don't know how much of this I'm going to watch because I'll pass out, and it sucked me in. It was good.
Leo in Boston on analytics and baseball. Yes, Leo.
Yeah, how you doing, fellas? So my thing is, they've been trying to kill baseball my entire life. No one's there. No one's going, et cetera. I'm a curmudgeon at 36. But my thing is, like, yeah, right now it stinks. Three true outcomes, all that. All it's going to take is some team of nerds to decide that hitting the ball the other way, running the bases, et cetera, is now so undervalued that they need to value it. They'll win a World Series, and everyone will start doing that.
Well, let's get to that then. Can we please? Like, when is that going to happen? Because I haven't seen any hint of that whatsoever.
I never believed David Price had assist on his wrist. He's a bitch.
Wow. Yeah, Carmine.
Carmine going in.
He's getting saucy.
Well, can you blame him? It was a tough year.
So here, look, and I think we all feel this way. A lot of us feel this way. If your team's in it, it's, you know, you can watch it. It's still a tractor pull to watch, but you will watch because it's your team and you're invested. If it's not your team, how do you watch these games? I was just as in this last time. I just went back and here are the last five playoff games, time of game, okay? Rays Houston yesterday, and then on Wednesday there were four games. Rays Houston, Braves Cards, LA Washington, New York Minnesota. Here are the time of games. 3:49, 3:37, 4:06 for 10 innings, Braves Cards. 3:24, 4:02 for 9 innings of Yankees Twins. You can't, what, the Bruins game last night was 2:20 or yeah, whatever it was.
Like, no, it's brutal.
You can't consume that product.
No, it's brutal. It is. It's brutal.
And I'll tell you, even when it is your team, there were playoff games last year we had to bow out of, whether it was you with the Sox or whatever. Like, you couldn't sit through, you can't, your ass gets sore. You can't sit there that long.
You didn't happen to, like, and I didn't look this up. I'm asking if you have the information. The what was the rating of that Tampa Bay Houston game last night? Any idea locally?
Yesterday? Just give me 1 second if you talk for
all
me.
All right, sure. I'll talk for, because I'd be willing to bet that once the Red Sox bow out, Mad Dog made this point once on one of his shows, and I think he's right. People in Boston generally don't watch national baseball. They watch the Red Sox. And so now, look, I think it's a little different if the Yankees are in it. Maybe, you know, the Yankees play the Dodgers in the World Series. Like, those tend to draw everywhere when it's the Yankees. But I'd be willing to bet last night's number was bad.
So locally, Astros raised it a 1-4. Which isn't, that's better than, I've been watching it. The games have been generally under one. They've been generally a point something, 0.7, 0.8, 0.9. Yesterday was actually a 0.145. What's interesting is that the demos aren't as atrocious. These Red Sox games, right? The household number will be a 9. Yeah. The 65-plus will be a 10. And the men 18 to 49 will be a 2. It's like Nesson and the Sox are literally grandpa passed out in front of the TV. the baseball game last night did a 1-4-5 household, but a 1-2-9 men 25-54. So the playoff games, it actually feels like the human beings are actually watching them, not grandpa passed out in the Lazy Boy.
Because they go on later.
But, you know, I mean, so that actually might be the best number yet for a postseason game here in Boston.
I mean, again, I watched some of it last night just because, you know, the Astros were in it. It was an elimination game. Verlander was on the mound. There was nothing else on. So I said, I'll click over. The Bruins weren't on until 10. So I said, well, I'll put this on for a little bit. And I think that was a factor. And, you know, the Rays made some noise, and now you get a Game 5 coming. So some of these Game 5s coming up, I'm interested in.
Sure. But
that's stats equal ratings, Mike.
At 4 hours, you won't be able to do it.
No, but that's the thing is I'll tune in for the, you know, the winner take all game five or the game seven. The whole series, I don't know how you dig into it.
Zach in Fitchburg, what do you got for us on the Celts?
I just think that Angie's comments were based more towards the people that had never watched Hayward in Utah. Like, he was Paul George type of level back there. And I think that the way people have been talking around here, they think he's going to be like prime Michael Jordan. So I think that Angel's just saying that, sure, he's going to be good, but don't expect like MVP type level from him. That's all.
So, Zach, I don't think he's Paul George. I think that's the problem, is that you compare him to Paul George, and I'm not dumping on you. He's not Paul George. Paul George can shoot over guys. Hayward's a good player. He's not a superstar.
I'm just telling you, it's not like the Celtics to tramp down the hype. They will, you know, between Wick or Danny, like, they will pump the tires on their guys like you read about.
Yeah, but after last year, they got to counter it because it was nonstop hype, but just not locally, nationally, everywhere.
It's so just not like them. You know, usually, and again, I think the offseason stuff with Gordon Hayward is goofy with you people. Like, the pants off, running around your neighborhood naked when he posts a video of him shooting in a chair, you know, in a gym somewhere. It's like it's going on for 2 years. Last year was really bad. This year wasn't quite as much, but, you know, Hayward was having a good camp, and, the Hayward hype train started. And usually the Celtics will say, yeah, his banner's, you know, his number's going up in the rafters with everybody else. Banner 18. Whee! You know, and Tommy's comparing him to Larry Bird, and, like, this is what you do. Except this time Danny Ainge said, you know, again, give me that Ainge comment. Like, where does this get so un-Celtic like for him to do this?
I think right now there's been a lot of buzz about Gordon and his comeback, and I'm worried that, you know, like it's getting a little out of hand.
Really?
You know, like I think he's Gordon. You know, he's back to being Gordon, and we're very excited about that. I just don't like, I sometimes worry, like, oh my gosh, they think that it's somebody else.
Since when do, oh God, like, since when do the Celtics care about high expectations? They live in that world. That's the whole Celtic experience. It's just goofy land, Planet Deluja. That's where they reside. And he says, I'm just worried people are actually thinking this guy's going to be good.
What's the over-under for wins on him?
I'd go 50-something.
50, I believe it's 49.5.
In Vegas, but I think they're going to be in the 50s.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Yeah, I think I'm with Maz on this.
Under.
But what why, since when do they try and, you know, manage expectations on a player?
Usually they never do.
I'm going under 50 wins for the Celtics.
They learned a hard lesson with this last year.
Comments got on everything. I'm sorry, go.
They learned a hard lesson with this last year because, again, it was nonstop hype from, you know, before the season, even through it. We're going to figure it out. We'll flip the switch in the playoffs. And they kept doing it and doing it, and it bit them in the ass collectively as a franchise.
See, I don't think that's it. I think it's that Ainge is a talent guy. And that he looks at the roster and he says, I mean, we're pretty good. We're pretty good, but we're not. We don't have Kawhi. We don't have LeBron. We don't have Paul George. We don't have Giannis. We don't have Kyrie. We don't have Durant. We don't have any of those guys. And those are the best players in the league. And I you know, as much as the Celtics blow smoke up your ass, green smoke.
Oh my God.
I do think that Ainge is one of these guys that says, look, there are a handful of players on the planet that can really control the game. Like less than 10 on the freaking planet.
And Gordon Hayward ain't one of them. Calm
right.
down.
And we don't have one of them. And that's a problem. And I just think that's the reality of it, and he can't get around that.
Okay, so we want to do a little Patriots NFL breather there with some other stuff. We can weigh in it all day long if you want. We'll take your calls on whatever you like. But I do have some Patriots thoughts coming up. Paul Perillo from Patriots.com will be in at 4 o'clock. But again, the Patriots item I want to get to is this. If there is a roster crunch, if there is a money crunch, if there is a they need to trim to add to give Tommy something to throw to because he's still bent out of shape. Where do they get that from? I want to pick up on that. And could it come from the defensive line? We'll discuss that after these words. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, phones as promised. Here's Jeffrey in Montreal on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure.
Just a quick thought on the Red Sox. I mean, you have a team right now that, you know, less than a year ago was the best team in baseball, convincingly beats the Dodgers, Yankees, and Houston to win the World Series. I mean, you have...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
His snap count is a little lower than it's been traditionally in the past years. Is that a function of him being a more veteran player, or is just finding out a role for him? Why is that?
You know, he's on our team. I really don't care what happened to some other team. I don't really know what that was or wasn't. But we'll try to do what's best for our team, and that's everybody. It's him. It's everybody else. And Devin McCourty's snap count's down, too.
All right. Michael Bennett. Interesting case here so far. And that was a question yesterday about his snap count, which is really low. You start to get into the Patriots here. 25% of the snaps in this last game. How many? What was that raw number? Do you remember?
I think it was like 15, but I'll double check.
He played like 15. I think that's right. I think he played 15 snaps in Washington. And it's been low from the start, and it's sort of been going down by the week. It's getting less by the week, not more by the week. And so Bill brushes it off there with that comment to the point where he says, I mean, Devin McCourty's snap count is down too. Like
15 snaps, 25%.
Freaking 15 snaps for Michael Bennett. Okay, he is also, I think, your fourth highest paid player at $6.5 million. And we did this yesterday. Bedard challenged me. I told him I could figure out the Pats cap on a cocktail napkin. I sure did, too. Went right to the cocktail napkin and gave you $4.5 million in savings if you release Michael Bennett. Okay? So I don't know if they want to do that. I'm just saying there's always savings to be found if you want to find it. Or restructure Michael Bennett. Or guarantee it and then spread, you know, like Michael Bennett might be a candidate here. Or I don't know, is Michael Bennett a guarantee, a lock to be on this team?
No.
I mean, do you think this is what they had in mind? Do you think this is by design? And again, last week he had a comment where he was asked about his role on the offense or on the defense, and he said, "You mean the zero role?" And then said, "No, I mean I'm just kidding," and then quickly walked it back. But it's certainly conscious of it. And with that little quip, didn't sound exactly like it was his idea. You know, that, you know, there's certain, I don't know, you can glean into that comment, even if he says he's joking. And I don't think he was when he said it, frankly. I think he just tried to, you know, walk it back immediately because he knew how that would read. But either way, is this what they had in mind for him or something else happened?
No, I think that this is the way Bill had it drawn up. And just because it's that way now doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. But did something change to make Bill use Bennett differently? No. I think that this is, and here's why I believe that, by the way. They traded for the guy and they gave him a raise, which means Bill knew, I'm taking something away from this guy later. He has a potential to be a real pain in the ass if I don't make nice with him out of the gate. And I have to make sure I communicate with him well enough and to be able to do all that, I better give him some money up front.
Yeah, I'm with Maz. I have to think it's about load management, and he's saving him for when the schedule actually gets tough next month into December.
So I'm not so sure of that, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, good.
So I said he was the fourth highest paid player. He's the sixth highest paid player. By cap hits, here are your highest paid players. Top 10. Brady, McCourty, Hightower, Gilmore, Mason, Michael Bennett, Kyle Van Noy, Julian Edelman, Marcus Cannon. The only one that stands out there is Michael Bennett. Everyone else plays every snap. So that's generally not how they do it. Okay? I mean, generally if they pay you, they expect you to be out there. And I do wonder if Bennett's having a hard time picking up the system, because this is also what Bill said yesterday. I'm just going to read the quote, but he said this in the same press conference, the same run of answers. He said, he's been in different systems, so he's trying to adapt into our system. Well, that's really all you need to know right there. He's been in different systems. He's trying to adapt into our system. But we've also talked to him about some of the things that he's done. And he obviously has a lot of experience and a lot of input, not just as an individual player, but also schematically. So he's been good. But right there, the first part of that comment is all you need to know. They're a two-gapping team that have gone more to a 3-4, two-gapping sort of thing this year. Michael Bennett has been a one-gapping, penetrating, upfield, interior pass rusher. Is what
disruptive,
he's been.
Yeah.
That's what he's done. And this is not typically what the Patriots want you to do with up front. It's what Lawrence Guy does, which is tie up blockers and sort of be a meat grinder for other people to make plays. And Belichick, when Belichick said that, he's been in different systems, so he's trying to adapt into our system. I said, it's not just load management. He's not two-gapping like they want him to.
No, no. So again, I don't believe it's all entirely load management. I think the way you phrased the question was, is, you know, did something change or is this what they planned? And I think that Bill looked at it and said, there was going to be a transition with this guy.
Something changed, I think. I don't think he's picking up the system like they thought he would.
No, you could be right.
I mean, I honestly, you're not, they generally don't. pay you that kind of money to play 15 snaps. It's just not what they do.
So again, that part's hard to argue with. And for the year, his snap count's at 48%. Last year in Philly, it was 69. 2 years ago in Seattle, it was 85. So in 2 years, his snap count's been cut in half.
What is Duane Harmon's snap count?
Okay, I'll check.
If you could. Because he's the next. He's either 10th or 11th on the payroll list.
But in the meantime, if you're just looking at him and he's not going to be a fit, and you want to try to clear up more cap space so you can maybe make a move for a real wide receiver between now and the trade deadline, there's an easy landing spot for him. You trade him back to Philly. Because their defensive line's a disaster. It's a mash unit there. They lose Malik Jackson for the year. They would need him. He obviously fits that system.
I just wonder if he's been the fit you thought he would.
Duane Harmon's at 68%, which is higher than I thought.
He's the 11th highest paid player on the team. So, like, those are the guys that I would look at in terms of roster bubble or save. You know, if they're paying more on you, not just forget production, you know. Stephon Gilmore has struggled a little bit the last couple of games. He's out there every snap. He's worth the $9 million. And Mason, if he's struggled, he's out there every snap. Bennett is under 50% on the year. And I'm sure some of it is load management. Some. But I don't know. Are they a big load management team when it comes to their offensive personnel? It feels to me like they'll be up 30 points and Brady and Edelman and these guys are still out there. And Rob Gronkowski, did they do load? I mean, maybe at the very end they started to with Gronkowski. But usually we're howling at, why are these guys still in the game in the fourth quarter? Why are they covering kicks? Why are they on special teams? Why is Gronkowski blocking on extra points? They're generally not a load management team. We want them to be, but they're not. So I don't know if it's load management with Michael Bennett. Maybe he doesn't want to get dirty and play the defense the way they want to play it.
I mean, look, either way, I would tell you that if you're talking about saving money or clearing cap space, whatever it is, or both, to be able to add something they need, he's a candidate.
Okay, so here's another idea that I know a lot of you are interested in. You want to add a receiver? You don't want to add payroll? Well, as he would tell you himself, you're already paying him, so Antonio Brown actually posted this today. You have it, Murray?
Yeah.
Hope you guys having a beautiful day. Yeah, you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it.
Might as well let me earn it. So
they got to pay me anyway.
That doesn't impact your cap, doesn't impact your real money, because that's all gone anyway. And you actually haven't paid them, but you're going to have to. And so I know a lot of fans are looking at that. What do you say to those fans, Maz?
No shot. No shot. Now, again, I told you, I never wanted him to begin with, so don't look at me. I just can't imagine all of a sudden Robert Kraft is going to reverse field, change his mind, and bring Antonio Brown back. What, because we had a couple of bad games offensively? Like, no way. Kraft will take more heat if he does that than he did the first time around.
It would never, ever happen.
No shot.
Zero.
No shot. And the gal just refiled her civil suit for rape. She took it out of the federal courts, put it in the state courts, and submitted evidence in air quotes, a little more background that shows that she was claimed. She didn't just come up with this recently out of nowhere. She had told others and told a Twitter site or a website or a help hotline, I'm not even sure exactly what, about the incident in the past. So she refiled that as part of her state filing now for civil rape. There's no shot. There's also chatter out there that the Browns are taking calls on Odell Beckham. Okay, there's reporting out there on that. Odell Beckham.
From where?
From where?
Yeah.
Dan Cilio?
Oh, please. But still, even if that were to be true.
I'm not dismissive of anyone's reporting, especially if it's a good story.
Oh, he's a loudmouth who can't keep a job. But if that were to be true, I would do that in a heartbeat. Yeah, there was interest there in the first place. You know, they tried to get him before in the offseason. So, yeah. I know he's a pain in the ass, but he's not a pain in the ass like Antonio Brown is.
I'm just trying to unpack his contract. His base salary this year is $6.75. It feels like it's all guaranteed. I feel like that's all guaranteed. I don't know. Again, I'm just reading this in real time. Yes, his 2019 salary is all guaranteed. So whatever's left on $16.75 is what he's due, and you have to pay him every penny because it's guaranteed. Unless you want to file arbitration against him too, you know. But on paper, you got to pay him actually that money. So something has to go out the door there. or something has to be massively restructured if you want to fit that on.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm setting the bar low here, and I don't even mean that as disrespect, but like someone like Mohamed Sanu, I think would be a good fit here. Rutgers guy. There was some interest there before in the past with the Patriots. Like, Atlanta's not going anywhere. There feels like they're going to fire their head coach any moment. So, you know, their next game that they lose, get on the phone. Try to get him out of there.
I mean, I want more of a possession guy.
Would you trade Michael Bennett for Odell Beckham?
Oh, yeah. Tonight.
So, wait a minute. What happened to Mohamed Sanu?
Well,
no.
If you're going to throw these kind of things at the wall, I have to give you an answer. There's my answer, Mr. Facilitator.
My answer is no.
Yeah, I'm only a no, no, no. I don't want this guy. I don't want Odell Beckham. I don't want Antonio Brown. I don't want this guy. I don't want Terrell Owens. I didn't want Randy Moss. I don't like these guys. You don't win with these guys. No, no, no. 1,000 times no.
Do you think the quarterback would want him?
Okay, so now back to facilitating. You'd rather have Mohamed Sanu and da-da-da, but if you would trade Michael Bennett for Odell Beckham?
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, of course. The guy's young. He's one of the most talented wide receivers in the game. And again, his issue is he's a diva pain in the ass, not a criminal pain in the ass like Antonio Brown.
Oh, give him time.
Oh, stop.
Give him time. Seriously. I say the same thing about him. I say about Brown. If you handle yourself like this as a professional, if you look like this in your personal life, what makes me think it's any different in your personal life? I think the way you carry yourself at work says a lot about you.
I'm not even worried about the diva part of him. I'd rather have more of a consistent possession guy. I think if they have a guy to compliment Edelman, They'll be fine. They'll be terrific.
Okay.
Again, it's hard to make the comparison, but what was Gronk? You know, Gronk wasn't in a lot of ways, wasn't a shiny hood ornament as much as he was. Like, you know, Gronk is a guy you could throw to in traffic on third down. That's the guy you need.
Okay, so there's our Patriots thought. And again, I just go back to Michael Bennett. I just wonder if something has to give there. The numbers don't add up on Michael Bennett.
I'm just facilitating.
And Carmine, always ready to weigh in as well with your phone calls after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports.
All right, calls as promised. Still got some Celtics action on the board. We'll get to that as well. Here's Rich in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, hi. So I was talking about how at the beginning of the season you guys were saying we don't need Antonio Brown, and I agree. Obviously, we don't need him. But we did need offense, and everyone was saying, oh, we're fine, but now there's a panic. What happened there?
Oh, I'm not panicked. Your quarterback's panicked. I'm with you. What happened? Why is the quarterback so GD panicked? They're third in the league in points. They're 5-0. They just won 33-7. Why the glum, grumpy Gus at quarterback?
Because the ratio is flipped. And you know, they're doing it in a different way now. His role is less.
So we don't share his panic, do we?
I don't. I mean, again, I would tell you that somewhere along the line, I think they're going to need the passing game to come up big for them. Right now, I don't have the kind of confidence in it that I normally would. But you can absolutely win different ways. It doesn't have to be the same way all the time.
Fred in Rhode Island on the seas. Yes, Fred.
Hey, guys. I think that the Celtics are going to be just fine this year. Walker coming in is going to add a nice, fresh face to us. And I think Haywood's going to be okay. He ain't never going to be that superstar. And it is time for the other kids to step up.
When you say just fine, what do you mean, Fred? What's just fine? Explain that.
I think that we're going to make it well into the playoffs. Probably, in my opinion, at least to the finals. Or the not all the way.
Conference.
Maybe not all the way.
Yes, conference finals. So I concur. This is what I've said. The Celtics they'll be the number two team in the East. Now, that still might mean you lose in the second round if you happen to face that team in the second round. You see
right,
what I'm saying?
Sure, of course.
So I can't tell you what round it's going to be, but you will be in the East Finals or you will lose to the Eastern Conference champion in an earlier round. That's where it's going to be. You'll be the second team in the East. And I'm not, And I'm not even guaranteeing that that's Milwaukee. I'm not. See, I still think the East is wide open. I don't think I think Milwaukee takes a step back this year. I really do.
So they might. But again, they have the best player in the conference, right?
They do. They do, but he ain't Kawhi Leonard.
No, he's not. But he's a matchup problem for everybody. I mean, for everybody. Like, who's going to find anyone to deal with him? There isn't. So to me, like, if I'm a Milwaukee fan and Milwaukee's not in the finals, I'm pissed. I'm pissed. I look at it and say, well, who's got a better guy than you do?
It should be them. I'm just not sure it's going to be.
So that might be a little bit of the Buck fan in you talking.
No, it's not. They lost what I think is their second best player in Brogdon. Mm-hmm. And I think he got exposed, he being Giannis, in the playoffs. Send him to the line. I don't have it off the top of my head. What did he shoot in the playoffs on the line? He turned into a complete basket case where he was then afraid to shoot free throws, so he was afraid to attack the rim, and it changed the whole team. And until he proves he can shoot or even just shoot free throws when it matters, they're totally exposed. So, no, I was never a huge believer in him last year, for crying out loud. Here's Earl in Providence. Hi, Earl.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, Earl. What do you got?
Good. Basically, I just want to talk about two wide receivers. You know, one is from the Browns, which is Jarvis Landry. I mean, he's tough. He can basically catch the ball a lot. And another dude is Mike Evans. Like, I mean, another big guy. And, I mean, just trade Martellus Bennett to either one of those.
Okay, teams. Why are those teams giving up on those players?
Say that again?
Exactly. Especially the Bucks with Mike Evans. They would never trade that guy.
Both teams Fielder in it.
What was the first one he said? Oh, Landry. Yeah. Landry, I love.
So listen, Odell Beckham's a different case because he's a time bomb himself, and he might be poisoning Baker Mayfield out there. And so, like, Odell Beckham, I would understand anyone trying to ditch because those guys, you ditch. They're just ditchable. But the rest, Tampa feels they're in it. Mike Evans is their best player. And what's left after Odell, I mean, if Jarvis Landry were their number one receiver, they'd be just fine. They'd be just fine in Cleveland.
Landry's a bad man.
Totally.
He's a good player. I like him.
We're giving away Patriots tickets in less than an hour. What's going on with the Murray?
Well, at least we're going to try to. Again, an underhanded outlaw who's simply calling themselves the Fugitive. Somehow came here to Morrissey Boulevard last night, broke into the building, broke into our program director's office, and stole those Patriots tickets. They didn't take Tarcher and Rich's or Zoe and Beatles. They gave theirs away, but ours... they got stolen. Here we were trying to give them away today at 4:30. We've heard from this hooligan a few times already with a disguised voice. They've called into the hotline. Hopefully we hear from them again. Oh, look at this. The hotline's ringing again, Jimmy.
Hey, dummies. Have you been paying attention?
Okay.
The tickets are gone. I broke in and took the tickets.
We know.
But if you want them at 4:30, I'll give them to the first person who says... I found the Felger and Maz 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive.
Again, that's quite a mouthful, but I guess the person that calls in at 4:30 and says, I found the
Felger and Maz 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive.
Pretty close, Carmine. It's not corn, not Maze, it's Maz.
How do you spell that for Carmine?
M-A-Z-Z.
So you got to try onesie.
Yeah, try onesie, see how that comes out.
No. Or M-A-H-Z.
I found the Felger and Maz 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Better.
Patriots ticket fugitive.
There you go. Sounds like Van Noy now.
So apparently that's the ransom.
I found the Felger and Maz.
That's the ransom. I found the Felger and Maz 98.5, the Sports Hub. Patriots ticket fugitive. Who knows? We may hear from the fugitive again, but that...
I found the Felger and Maz 98.5, the Sports Hub. Patriots ticket fugitive.
Yeah, Murray, I found that fugitive guy that you were playing earlier that has the tickets. I want them.
So you can't just call 4:30. You've got a call claiming that you found the fugitive.
According to the fugitive, yeah. That's the ransom. That's what you got to say to release the tickets. Because we don't get to give them away. The fugitive does. He stole the tickets.
So we'll give latitude on this, but the key word really is fugitive. You got to say, if you don't say
this fugitive. This ticket fugitive is a bitch.
Oh, Carmine, how dare you.
We good?
Yeah,
long commercial free segment live. Long commercial free segment is next. And does Tom Brady sound more and more like an NBA superstar by the day or what? We'll get to that.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, at this point, is the preparation that you get at practice not as valuable maybe as it was to you earlier in your career? You said a couple weeks ago, you know, you're not a spring chicken. You know, there may be good times for you to...
You guys take everything so literal. That was a joke.
We would never do that.
Yeah, that was just, I was kidding around. That was...
Okay, so how important, I guess, is practice at this point to get in those practice reps?
I've had a lot of practices. I mean, if you think probably 100 practices a year on average over the course of maybe more than that, 120 times 20 years, just professional, all through high school, college. So, you know, football, I would say, is very much like riding a bike for me now. I mean, I know what to do. I know where to look. I wish I didn't make, you know, mistakes when I was out there. But, yeah, I mean, the practice is very important for me because, you know, it gives me confidence in what we're doing. It helps me anticipate things with the players that I'm playing with. So even though I, you know, have done things, you know, I still recognize that a lot of other players haven't done those things. So my connection with them is very important. Even though I've been doing it, the two of us need to do it together. You know, football is a very coordinated game. You know, everybody needs to be thinking the same thing, reacting the same way, anticipating the same way in order for it to be successful. So, and that's why us being out there as a unit is very important, practicing, executing in practice so you can build confidence. You know, the confidence builds trust, and the trust leads to good execution when you're out on the field.
Was it just me, or was Brady saying there, I don't need to practice? I mean, to me, that's what he even did. You know, once he got through busting the reporter's chops about the spring chicken thing, he even gave you the practice question mark.
We're talking about practice.
He sounds more like an NBA superstar every day, like the very beginning of that Brady answer, Jimmy. Just again, the practice part. Well, trust me, he says the first word is practice question mark. And he says, how many have I had? Well, how many do you have a year? 100? 120 a year? How long have I been playing? It's like riding a bike.
I mean, when I heard that comment yesterday, the riding a bike thing, I went, ooh, that comes out wrong. Keep going.
He's telling you, I don't need this. I don't need to practice. Now, he acknowledges.
Get in those practice. Reps.
I've had a lot of practices.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's hard to hear there. But
get in those reps.
Practice? You know, but so he does acknowledge that it's about the coordination and it's about the other guys. But I think the first half of that answer was him telling you, I have all the answers. I don't need to practice.
I mean, again, that line, like it's like riding a bike. Really? Like, is that the analogy you would use? Like, I thought that was kind of a cavalier sort of, you know, offhanded remark by, not even offhanded, but you know what I mean? Cavalier. Like, riding a bike is something that you learn as a child. You could never do it again for like years, decades. Hop on a bike and know how to do it. Is playing quarterback the same way?
He thinks it is.
I mean, I think that's asinine. I heard that and I went, no, I do. I just, and the other thing is when he get to the end of that comment and he said, you know, the passing game is a coordinated thing. And I felt like he was walking back his comments from last week where he said, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing they can do for me. Well, wait a minute. You told me a week ago that you guys were all sort of operating independently. Now it's coordinated?
Yeah, he's playing some lip service. But I think that first half of the answer is I don't need to be out here.
I mean, it is. Riding a bike, it's like playing football is like riding a bike for me, or running the offense is like riding a bike. It's such a horrible analogy because, again, you're dealing with different receivers all the time. The timing is a constant a constant work in progress, constant, over and over and over again. Even when you're with someone, now you're putting new guys in and it's riding a bike.
Yeah, that's on them, not me. I know how to pedal.
That's what I mean. Literally, yeah. That's what he's saying.
It's not great.
It's a dinky comment.
It's not as bad as what he did to his tight ends yesterday, which we'll replay for you with Paul Prillo. That was, I thought, egregious. The comments he had about Izzo and the other fellow. Now I'm disrespecting
Lacoste.
Yeah, well, I just, me and Brady, the same thing. Like frickin' frack, those two guys. Yeah, I play with whoever they tell me to play with. what a comment that was. But we're getting so old, Maz. I wonder if we play Allen Iverson, if people even know what we're talking about.
A lot of them don't.
I wonder if kids even know what you're... Kids, you know what you're hearing when we play this?
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game. not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
That's one of the all-time great rants.
Oh, it is. Best. It's awesome. Absolutely great.
I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice.
What year was that?
Oh, God, I'm going to guess...
After, like, 0102, wasn't it?
No, I think it was earlier. I'm going to say 20 years ago.
I'm trying to Google it. 17 years later. So it was 17 years ago.
Okay, so split the difference.
May 7, 2002.
Yeah, 2002.
Wow. That is you know what? I'll tell you why they know about it. YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they all spend time on YouTube. They sit there on the TV, in the smart TV, and they just watch YouTube videos. And someone somewhere mentioned Iverson, and they said, oh, YouTube, search Iverson practice and see if it comes up.
I thought Brady had a tiny undercurrent of that.
Yeah, we're talking about practice.
Zach in the car. Go ahead on Brady. Zach!
Hey, sorry. Do you feel like if the Patriots played five playoff teams from last year, they'd be 5-0 right now?
Oh, good question.
What? Hmm. Say that again?
If they played, instead of five bags of horse manure, they played five decent teams, what would their record be?
4-1.
Yeah, they would have lost one in there.
4-1 or 5-0. I'm still not sure they would
because
have lost.
That performance Sunday, they play a better team that they
lose. Yeah, but they come out better.
Buffalo would have beaten them because that team would have had a quarterback.
I don't know. I mean, tell me what
you
the five
play a playoff team? A playoff team has a quarterback.
Yeah, but so I still think your defense would have shut him down. I mean, what quarterback?
You would have lost that game.
I'm not sure. And again, the way they came out against the Redskins, Murray, was garbage. But it's because it was the Redskins. Like if that was a real game, would you think they would have been calling timeout on the first?
No. I see.
4-1.
We got Drew in Plymouth. Hi, Drew.
Hey, you got it. Like, 2 days ago, you got to give me this quick story. I'm a teacher. My kids are going to give them a presentation. So the day before the presentation was all about practice, I started class by pulling up the YouTube video.
Good job.
Practice. By the end of class, I'm like, guys, what's this all about? They're like, practice, not the game. Not the game, it's about practice. It was class. So okay, Brady's a grump because he's not playing well. He knows his potential, right? He's not hitting it. So any high-level athlete, that doesn't play well gets angry, and we want that as a competitor.
Okay,
Drew,
I'm going to cut you off because your phone is not...
Right, teach yourself how to use the phone.
Seriously, right? Boy, your phone blows.
Brady's grumpy because he's not pleased with his performance. So you think he's frustrated with himself?
No.
Nope, I don't. I think he's frustrated with what he's been handed.
No, he's blaming everybody else. He's blaming everybody but himself. That's why he's coming off that way. If it was him, he would be much more, humble. Like, he'd be sitting there going, guys, I got to put the ball in better places. I mean, I'm not doing that right now, and I got
to
do that.
Okay, we hope to give away Patriots tickets at 4:30 for you, but I don't know, Murray. What's the status?
What do you know? The Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is ringing again. Hello, Sports Hub.
Hey, Felger. Sounds like you're really annoyed by this. Good. That's why I broke in and took the tickets. Remember, at 4:30, I'll give them to the first person who calls the contest line and says, I found the Felger and Maz 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive. Got it? Good.
Okay. So now what has to be said.
See, Murray did this at 9 o'clock this morning, knowing by the time we got to 4 o'clock, I'd be just about done with it.
No, he knew you'd be agitated at 2 o'clock. He just saved the last one for 4 o'clock. He needed to build up to it. He had to create a storyline.
Patriots tickets at 4:30, but you've got to what, Murray?
Again, you've got to say, I found the Felger and Maz 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive. The first person that can say that, I found the Felger and Maz 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive will win Patriots Giants tickets.
Maz is loving this.
Yeah, no, we're going to go, we're not going to hold you to the literal thing. Like, you got to come close.
Fugitive.
Like, Yeah, I caught that fugitive guy. Can I have my tickets?
No commercials, just an update. Then Paul Perillo from Patriots.com comes in and answers for all this stuff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.